Welcome to Morning Living on Martha Stewart Living Radio.
Morning, lovelies. 29 after the top of the hour. It's breakfast time.
You know.
But it looks kind of like treat time to me.
Well, breakfast encompasses a lot of different foods, different styles.
What's your favorite?
The one that our next guest brought right next to me. These toffee, almonds. I don't even know what it is. Oh, it's just delicious. You can have it any time of the day. That breakfast especially.
Finally. The sugar kind. Dana yeah. Moose just walked into the studio, author of The Art of Breakfast, a woman who makes breakfast for visitors all the time. And now you're visiting us and you brought us breakfast, which is super nice of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
So we drooled on the book last night.
Yeah.
Actually, I made your granola last night.
Did you?
Well, not quite. I mean, I made it. I didn't have everything, you know, you put
improvise.
In your granola. So I improvised. I didn't have, I think there's pecans in your recipe. I only had almonds.
Perfect. That's fine.
So what else did I threw in some sesame seeds. I didn't have coconut, so I threw in sunflower seeds. But, you know, basically I made your recipe.
I mean, that's sort of the, like, your book, like The Art of Breakfast, that you can mix and match. You can
Absolutely.
Substitute. And there's a lot of different things that you maybe not think are for breakfast, such as these.
Chocolate almond toffee?
Yes.
Yeah, can you pass that down? I mean, we haven't really eaten much today, and while we're setting a terrible example, it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Right.
This is like a total favorite.
Yeah.
Now watch this, because Brian will stop talking
I'll
entirely
stop talking. I'm sorry,
when he's eating.
But it's just... Mm.
That's pretty addictive.
Oh, it's just my...
Oh my gosh, that is so good.
It's just, it's really delicious. I'm sorry.
All right, but... I shot the toffee. I've got children. We call our food.
So
honestly, you serve this for breakfast? Really?
No.
This is just a treat for, because you're known for treats too throughout the
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the afternoon, we put out some baked goods, and I used to put little candy dishes in the rooms, in all the guest rooms,
mm-hmm.
and put rum balls in the rooms every day. And then I started.
Does anyone leave the room?
Well, it's funny when they don't realize that I replenish them daily. They'll take a bite, they'll put it back in, and then they'll see that we put another one in, and they say, "Oh, well, then I can eat it." And then they'd start to eat them, and sometimes they would ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
well, you've
kind
not
of fun.
Met Brian and me, because mm-hmm. we wouldn't leave the rum ball.
No.
I can take a bite and leave the rum ball for later. We would take it and eat it. So you really are a master of hospitality at a bed and breakfast. I mean, the food says a lot about
it does.
The breakfast.
It does. About giving,
mm-hmm.
about providing for people.
Is that what you wanted to do when you were growing up?
You know, no. I had an art background. I wanted to be an artist. And then at some point after traveling, I really wanted to have a restaurant. But I've never worked in a restaurant kitchen. And I don't like the pace of the restaurant kitchen.
No, we just visited with a contestant on Hell's Kitchen. I assure you the pace is rough.
That's... Yeah. My father said, Dana should be on Hell's Kitchen. No, but I don't think so. No, I'm not cut out for that.
Well, having an art background, you know, you're creating meals. And, you know, but with the bed and breakfast, I'm sorry, I'm chewing on this delicious.
What'd you just eat now?
What was
the
that
rum
right
ball.
There?
Chocolate rum ball.
Oh, my gosh. It is so delicious. With a bed and breakfast, it's not that crazy restaurant
exactly.
pace.
It's
but
not.
You can still have, be creative and make these great meals. And breakfast, you know, is a bed and breakfast. I mean, that yeah. is what it encompasses.
Exactly. It's half the reason people go to bed and breakfast.
That's right. Yeah.
What's the other half? Just don't never make it Martha.
Right.
To sleep in a beautifully appointed room with
right.
a comfortable bed. Yeah.
Really?
No, I like the whole experience, but I especially like breakfast because, you know, when I'm home, I have to make all the breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
It's
exactly.
nice to see what someone else can do and to also make it pretty.
Right.
Because that's
right.
not always our goal when we have a family or a partner to feed.
Yeah.
It can be delicious. It's not always pretty.
Right. And it's not difficult to make it pretty, as I've shown you here.
Yeah. No, it's...
It really doesn't have to be difficult.
Sorry, I'm eating another rum ball.
You have to try the chocolate coated.
This is Brian trying to talk while eating.
I'm
normally, when the food enters the studio, he's out. He just checks out, and then he looks at his phone. I wonder if anyone emailed me.
I wonder if anyone cares.
All right, let's talk about ways to get breakfast to look pretty.
Well, a few ways. I use color contrast, which also involves flavor contrast. And I use a lot of fresh vegetables and fruit.
We like you already.
I don't.
Because you brought the candy, but we can still talk about the produce.
Yep.
Absolutely. I would never put an egg dish on a plate without putting something green. And it's usually fresh baby spinach,
mm-hmm.
some kind of baby greens, sometimes chilled asparagus, but it, you know, steamed, but then chilled. And I'll do green beans, nothing overdone, so it's still bright and fresh.
Because I've read a lot of the signs. You know Harold McGee from the New York Times? And he does all the crazy signs. Do you, when you want to make a fresh green cooked, do the boiling water thing and then shock it in ice water?
Yes, that's the only way really to stop the cooking and to keep
it'll stay fresh and green. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't overcook vegetables. Just can't.
You and my mother, we've eaten very crunchy vegetables throughout my lifetime.
Yeah. So a lot of times I use the vegetables on a savory dish on the plate, sometimes with a sauce to dip, like a curry aioli is really nice on chilled vegetables. And then for the sweet dishes, I'll use sauces in opposite colors. So if I do something with blueberries, I'll use a blueberry sauce or a lemon French toast with blueberries. Sometimes pineapple garnishes a plate with blackberries, mango blackberries. So there's always, I try to use one or two sauces that are different colors.
You really are an artist.
Make the color pop. I mean, make the plate pop. Well, I use the plate as my canvas.
Okay, I have a question for that. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this all week, but I didn't tell John as a surprise.
Uh-oh.
As someone who loves to cook and serve company, do you feel like you have to have a plate that's kind of clear in the middle, a solitary color, white?
I like white.
You start with white and kind of and build on that?
Absolutely.
A presentation is a lot of it. I mean, let's face it, when you're served a really nice presentation, you're psyched to eat it.
Absolutely. And it also shows you care. I don't just throw fruit into a bowl and say, here's a spoon. And
right.
You know, there are ways to stack it, ways to plate it, ways to style it so that it really looks like you've taken an extra step, which says you care.
What are some of the other favorites, you know, that people generally ask for?
Like when someone comes to your B&B on a second time around, they say, do you have the blah, blah, blah?
Right.
Yes, the egg roulade with the lobster.
Like we would guarantee, like if we just stop by, I just want to know.
No, but I do tell them, if there's something that you want me to cook, just on your reservation, make a note, and I will do that.
And that there again is one of the big differences. I mean, for a bed and breakfast, you can, you know, just
breakfasts don't offer you that opportunity, though. It is what it is.
Sometimes there are a lot of innkeepers that care like I do and that really, you know, focus on the food that they would like to make the most of all their guest stays. So, you know, guests probably just don't figure they can ask.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have somebody look forward to having something their second time around and ask for it. So I always say, just let me know and I'll try and handle that.
And cool. Lobster is so great. Lobster is great anytime, but for part of a brunch or a breakfast, is so good.
Yeah. Now, this is something we can make at home, too.
You can. This is not one of the easier dishes because it does take a few steps, but if you do it exactly like I've said in the cookbook, it will work. You have to use the blender. You have to spray the pan the same exact way. You have to use parchment paper. I mean,
You make the roulade in the oven?
Yes. You bake it essentially in a jelly roll pan, just like you would a cake jelly roll. And then when the egg cools, and it's just egg and cream, when that cools, then you fill it with your fillings. And I happen to use a mixture of sautéed leeks, Parmesan, a little bit of cream cheese, and then top it with shredded Parmesan, and then roll it back up using the parchment as a guide, just like you would a jelly roll. Ends up looking like a ho-ho.
Her voice sounds
Now you're talking my language.
Okay. And then put it back in the oven, you know, 20 minutes just to melt all the cheese inside. And then when you slice it, you can either serve it on its side so that you see the
and that could be it. It would be delicious.
Garnished with a little fresh shaved Parmesan or shredded Parmesan, that's fine. But who doesn't like melted butter with sherry and lobster
on top? Extra, please, on the side.
Exactly.
I was like, did you not bring that one? Like, why don't you bring the lobster?
If I could have cooked in a studio here, I would have. That's, I know.
It's the one thing we don't really do super well. We don't have a stove.
Yeah.
We can work on that.
We have a hot plate. I'm not sure you could do it without the oven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
So you would top it with lobster or crab if you were by a crab area.
Absolutely.
That would be equally delicious. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would actually request that if I was coming over.
Yeah, I guess.
Which now I want to.
Now, do you have a lot of farmers markets up there, like, you know, that you shop from regularly? Yes. You know, now's the time of year where it's happening and you go and you go every week? Or
I try to go whenever I can.
Yeah.
There are a lot of the farmers will actually send their products out. I mean, I have a delivery of a local goat cheese that I could get anytime I want.
That's great.
There are a lot of organic farmers in Maine. I read something about there are more in Maine than California organic farmers.
So,
thought that was interesting. Sure. But some great cheeses.
It speaks to the American spirit, because it's harder in Maine than it is elsewhere, mm-hmm. because it's such a diverse state, mm-hmm. and you have such a short growing season.
Exactly.
But I like a challenge. I do. I tell you something. You have a recipe for fruit that could probably get anybody to eat fruit. I mean, I like fruit plain, mm-hmm. and dressy. I mean, I could eat fruit any day of the week, mm-hmm. and do. But we have a culture of people who do not eat fruit.
Yeah.
But you figured out a way to make it look like a dessert and still get the fruit in them. It's the cairn, which wasn't really a cairn, like stone structure, but now you call it that.
Right, right. Yeah, one of our guests, actually, that was the very first fruit dish that I did when we decided we were buying a B&B. And I was practicing what to make at home before we moved to Maine. And I put some pineapple and banana in a flame-proof dish and topped it with a sauce and some brown sugar and torched it. And I loved the way it tasted, but I didn't like the way it looked. Just a bowl of fruit, kind of with a spoon. I didn't like that. So then I started playing with slicing the fruit and stacking it. And that's kind of a little bit of architecture background I have. Mm-hmm. As a wannabe
architect. A little creative.
Yeah. So I served that to one of our guests the first year, and she said, "Oh, this looks like the kerns on the hiking trails." And I said, "Huh? I didn't even know what that word was."
Yeah.
And so that's when the pineapple banana kerns were born.
Yes. So there we go.
So, you know,
can
and
I put it in the broiler, or must we have a torch?
Here's the problem with the broiler. If you can't control how quickly or slowly the heat burns the sugar. And most of the time, if you put something in the broiler, the sugar will melt before it can burn. So by using a torch, you control how quickly the sugar melts and then burns. Because brulee is the burned sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And if it melts, you're not going to get that burn. So you have to control.
It's an excuse to buy the torch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need it. My kids want anyway. They're like dying for me to get this torch. Out of all the things on the planet, right, we should have in our kitchen.
Yes.
A blowtorch.
They want a blowtorch.
A real blowtorch. Go to, you know, the hardware store and get a real one with a push-button start.
You mm-hmm. prefer that.
Oh.
What, are there cooking ones? There's specific
there
cooking
are,
ones?
There are, but they're very little. Yeah, they're cute, but this is the real thing.
You need some flame. You need some, okay.
She's a girl
who likes tools. Well, when I'm flaming 16... When I'm flaming 16 of them, always fun for guests to watch. We have an open kitchen, so they're always watching. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear that blowtorch, you know, across the
air. Do they ever come in the kitchen? Do the guests ever, like, you
know? Let me help you?
Yeah.
Oh, do you want
help?
They want
to bring dishes in. Do I just take this out? Do you want help? And my husband always says, you can do the dishes.
seriously, because Brian already knows this, I don't like help in the kitchen at the back end.
Right.
Want to be left alone at the back end because I have a system for cleaning.
Yeah.
And if you're in my way, my system is slower.
Yeah. No.
I prefer my own system to.
It is true.
I don't like people bringing in dishes, but you know, once they're in, leave the kitchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get out.
Well, as an
innkeeper, so hospitable.
You have to be flexible.
Yeah.
So there are people helping you with the dishes.
Do they ask about, like, when you're preparing, do they, you know, say, hey, how are you making that?
Absolutely.
Or do they, really?
Yeah.
That's why
you got the cookbook now.
Yeah. Exactly. And they ask me, I say, well, here.
And you could purchase one of the books.
Can you explain that to me? Yes, and I already did,
mm-hmm.
in printed form.
Exactly.
There you go. So what is the most requested after the roulade with the lobster breakfast?
I would say those carnes. Surprisingly, the baked oatmeal. And it really surprised me. It's not a fancy dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's very comfort food. But I guess because it's oats, it's healthy, and it's something that people think they can make at home.
Yeah.
That was the most requested recipe that people thought they could actually make at home. So I used to print it on cards and have it at my checkout desk.
I kid you not,
because it was just regular. And, you know, you dress it up with the sauces, and I do a rhubarb sauce, which is nice and tart against the sweet.
Oats, yeah.
So... That one's definitely requested. One I do this year now it's in the book and I did it for years, but now I do it regularly because it's sort of my go-to sweet dish instead of, you know, the savory being the egg roulade, is the blintz souffle with the mango and the blackberry.
Now your dad's standing behind you giving the big cheer.
Yeah.
That's his favorite. Yeah, that's his absolute favorite. That's a lot of people's favorites.
So blintz is like making, crepes?
It's very similar to crepes, but instead of actually serving separate individual crepes on the plate, I do it in a layer form. So it's a baked dish that's sort of a layer of batter, filling, which is cream cheese, cottage cheese, egg yolks, sugar, and then batter on top. And when it bakes up, you've essentially got a layered baked cheese blintz, and it kind of puffs up, so that's why I call it souffle. And it's sort of a combination of crepes and a cake. It's very interesting with the cheese fillings, and it's People just love it.
It's low fat.
Oh, absolutely.
All the recipes are low fat, including the candy.
And when you cook at home, too.
Let's do a quick run around the plate of what you brought. So you brought the toffee.
So I brought the chocolate almond toffee, which sometimes I throw coconut into just for fun. And
then, you heard me say I shot the toffee. I mean the whole thing, right, Brian?
Oh, yes.
Okay, just checking.
I brought the chocolate rum balls, which are just chocolate.
It's a no-bake dessert.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just ground cookie crumbs, Oreo crumbs, with the whites and all. I mean, with the cream filling and rum and sugar. It's great. And you can use any kind of, you could even replace the rum with orange liqueur or raspberry liqueur. It's great.
Have fun.
Absolutely. Then I took some of those chocolate rum balls and dipped them in dark chocolate and some in white chocolate. And then actually what you haven't sampled yet, I've got the white chocolate chip coconut pecan cookies sitting over here.
Boy.
You have to try those because those were a favorite at the end. And I have a cute story I want. It won't take long. There was an elderly couple that stayed with us. They had stayed with the previous innkeepers before us as well. And they kept coming back, and they had a specific room. And eventually, after a couple of years they stayed with us, the wife passed away. And the husband came back again for 2 years in a row, and he would book that same room, and he would ask for the same cookies. So they sort of became their cookies. So
that's
nice. Christmas time, I would make cookies for him and send him a batch.
Oh,
so
nice.
You're a good innkeeper.
Yeah. See, that's how
a
you
nice
get...
person.
Well, you know what? It's all about the returning visitors.
Absolutely.
And spreading the word. Like that's...
Oh my gosh, you could send us cookies too at Christmas.
Aren't those good?
No, I'm sorry. Too much?
Mm.
That's my favorite kind of cookie.
What, this kind? Or chewy? Or
the whole thing.
Chewy?
Oh,
not
so,
too sweet, but
so
it's got the chocolatey thing.
And buttery.
And white.
Yeah, buttery, yeah.
And butter.
Mm.
Delicious.
We
it's
love
a good
butter.
Thing.
Is that recipe in the book?
Yeah.
Thank you. We slightly like that phrase. It's
yeah,
a good thing.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
That's good,
yeah,
that's good
in
stuff.
There. And you can put, sometimes I'll use macadamia nuts. But sometimes they're hard to find. I haven't been able to find them recently.
Huh.
In bulk, at least.
Oh, that is all delicious.
Yeah, Brian's like, can I get another cup of coffee?
Mm.
And I'll call it a day. Unfortunately,
I know.
You have to stay, because we're going to discuss,
yes.
This is so weird to follow a conversation about food, your weight and your personality, and calorie counting.
Well, listen, everything's in moderation. We've got a little of this, a little of that. It's all.
I'm not advocating sweets for breakfast. It just so happens that we're that lucky today.
I think I am.
I couldn't bring eggs with me. I would have otherwise.
I know you would have. Dana Moose is the author of The Art of Breakfast, which you can use, too, for your next opportunity for either having family or friends, or both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all delicious, and there's snacks in there, and there's real food, too. And I'm glad you came to visit us.
Thank you so much.
Next time we go to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you
take
guys, you have to stay, too, because we are going to have a conversation about... who you are,
yeah.
And why it matters when it comes to your weight. And then if you have a quick second, take your smartphone out and read the article in the New York Times about calorie counting and whether you think it makes a difference, because I find this fascinating. That's all coming up on Morning Living, 47 after the hour, 866-675-6675. Do you think calorie counting can work? It's Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius XM 110.
They didn't have calling.
Oh, this is calling.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, she spoke for, it's 8:48. So,
she got at least